welcome everybody again, second attempt, and especially those who are online as well. This is Servants of the Lord Ministries. I'm the international coordinator, and the ministry real focus is on those who have a heart after God. And I remind you of our commission that God is sending us to people who have a heart after God. And like I say, these sessions are very important, I believe, in our calendar. I hope you understand the purpose of this meeting is to look at foundations. And you may not want to look at this normally, but in the busyness of life, maybe in other areas, but especially spiritually, you need to wake up to the fact that your spiritual foundation needs some work on it. So that's what we're doing in these sessions. There'll be three sessions today. They are going to be broadcast for the next couple of weeks as well, for those who are interested to get and hear them again. So praise the Lord. Darren has has introduced us and prayed. But let's just look at a couple of scriptures, but prepare our hearts for what God wants to say to us, because foundations are important. Let's look at the book of Isaiah to start with. In the book of Isaiah, we're going to go through a lot of scripture. But in that scripture, I hope you note it down and look at it later and meditate on it. And maybe there's something there that describes you. And it's through that conviction that you experience as you read the scripture that will enable you to go deeper. God gives you ears to hear when you humble yourself at his word, and the grace will increase. Let's look at Isaiah 28, verses 16 and 17. This is Isaiah 28, starting in verse 16. This says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious corner, a sure foundation. And he that believes shall not make haste." Verse 17, "Judgment also will I lay to the line." I hope you're hearing this. "And righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the water shall overflow the hiding place." In the Living Bible, Isaiah 28, 16 and 17 says this. This is the Living Bible. Says, "But the Lord says, see, I am placing a foundation stone in Zion, a firm, tested, precious cornerstone that is safe to build on." You may not be building on it, but it is safe to build on. "He who believes need never run away again. I will take the line and the plummet of justice to check the foundation wall you built. It looks so fine, but it's so weak a storm of hail," God says, "will knock it down. The enemy will come like a flood and sweep it away, and you'll be drowned." The foundation that we're talking about today is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is not a very popular subject. Most people don't really spend a lot of time looking into this subject. But he needs to be functioning as Lord of your life. And this is not something that comes untested, untried. The Father tested his only Son, put him through the paces. Jesus was willing to go through that trial. He had no advantage over us either. He was like us in every way. And you can be sure that when you put your foundation on Jesus, that you have a sure foundation. But you actually have to make him functional Lord. You can't just call him Lord. Today, most people aren't interested in foundations until they want to extend or do something bigger or better. But you've got to also look at your spiritual foundations. Maybe this describes you already. You're up and down. You keep finding you're trying to do something new and you can't do it and you fail and you just get under condemnation. We call that a spiritual trap. We call that a guilted prison. You're in a situation where you're trying to step out and do something, but then you keep collapsing because your foundation is weak or missing. This is the time to strengthen those foundations. And this is what this seminar is going to be about. You need to realize that there is some cost involved. I don't know if you realize that when something gets a little bit old and cranky, the costs will go up a little bit. Okay? So you've got to keep working on your foundation. You can't do this. You can't just leave something spiritual and just expect to come back to it where you left it off. If you want to get good spiritual progress, you need to keep working on your foundation. Okay? Otherwise, a complete rebuild becomes necessary. You have a shallow foundation if you keep listening to the flesh. I'll say that again. You have a shallow foundation spiritually if you keep listening to your flesh. The devil is going to help you pursue something that has no eternal gain. That includes the lust of the flesh. That includes anything that will help you stay comfortable. And he will let you do dead works as a result. You may even end up starting blaming others and follow a way that seems right. So establish Jesus as Lord now. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what the devil's doing. And you need to particularly, if you have not made Jesus Lord up to this point, and you know that up to a certain pressure, maybe you have relaxed on this, but ask God for forgiveness for not having done this earlier when you had a chance. Everyone had a chance to make Jesus Lord from the time they were born again. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1, I'm reading to verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," verse 2, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Verse 3. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Verse 5. "Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." There's so much in that passage. I hope you get a chance to meditate on that. I hope you understand the goodness of God. You should have tasted how gracious he has dealt with you up to this point. That he hasn't dealt with you according to your sins. That he has given you grace and mercy when you deserve something else. And his purpose for doing that was so that you would grow up spiritually. Each one of us gets a time to repent. We get grace to come to repentance. And I hope that you have used that time wisely. Indeed, as you look at this, you realize that we were supposed to be stones, lively stones, dead to this world, but alive to God. That the only thing that moves you is not what you see on the TV today, It's going to be very entertaining as we get closer and closer to our Lord's return. And particularly what you're going to see in the news is going to take your attention. But forget about it. Jesus said, look up at this time. The more you get distracted from your working on your personal relationship with God, you're wasting time. There is nothing more important in this life right now than your ability to communicate with Him. And that means under any kind of pressure. You might be able to communicate with Him with a low level of pressure, but that is not going to get you through the situation. Sorry, verse 6. Did I read verse 6? No, I didn't read verse 6. Verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on Him shall not be confounded. Now, I know this is no surprise to any of you, but Jesus was elect. He was chosen. He proved Himself. He proved Himself in every area of life, not just one area. And you need to have the same attitude. Otherwise, you may even disqualify yourself. If you're thinking about ministry and other areas that you want to work in, well, start being faithful in the area that God has called you first. Otherwise, you won't be chosen. Jesus was chosen because He was faithful in every area. Jesus always acknowledged the Lord. Once you have made Jesus Lord, you have something precious. I hope you treat it as if it is precious. Guard it. It's the most important part of your life. And to keep Him functioning, to keep Him in that place of making the decisions. You may just call Him Lord, but the one who's Lord of your life is the one who's making the decisions. As we've said already, Jesus is full of grace and truth. And He's there to help you stay on the narrow way. He doesn't want you to get off it. He's not going to overload you. But He wants you to grow up. Every parent wants their children to grow up. And God is no different. He wants you to grow up. But you're not going to grow up if your life is not under some kind of pressure. He wants you to learn quickly on the narrow way. You're not on an academic course here. If you don't understand this, when you get on the narrow way, you are experiencing the best course you could ever be on in your life. The pressure is at the maximum that God will allow for the purpose of your training, and the pressure is at the minimum it can possibly be to make sure those things are established in your life. And God is in charge. That's the best place for you to be. If you want to study something, study the narrow way. What does it mean? What does it produce? And if you've been on the narrow way, then your life is changing. You don't learn things without conviction on the narrow way. Where you're reacting and resisting, pressure will increase. But He can take you to the root issues of any area where He has convicted you of. And you need to believe that. And you'll grow quickly. Whenever you get to the root of anything, if you've never heard this before, you are removing the old foundation your life was based upon. And you're putting in its place a strong spiritual foundation instead. Well, that's true. And it can be widened and deepened. But you don't mess it up. You've got to keep trusting God. Okay? with your whole heart. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If you are repenting of bad works, that's not enough. You need to repent of dead works. A dead work is anything God didn't tell you to do. At salvation, that you should have been convinced that there is nothing good that lives in you. That's Romans 8, 7 and 18. If you are convinced of that, then you're not going to start making decisions with your mind again. You are going to acknowledge God in all your ways. You're not going to do anything without checking with him. He's the only one who can see the end from the beginning. You are called. You have an invitation. And that means God is going to provide everything it takes for you to do this. If God invites you, then he is going to supply what is necessary to do what he says. Now you have the grace to do his works through you. Well, you are responsible for resisting that work. That's what you're responsible for. But he can do it through you if you don't help him. If you help God a lot, he can do a little. If you help God a little, he can do a lot. But if you don't help him at all, he can do all things through you. Maybe you want God to do it without you. But it's a greater miracle indeed, if he can do it through you. And you need to recognize that God wants to do it through you personally. And he's not going to change his mind about that. You might change your mind, but God's not going to change his mind. So don't resist. When you think about doing all that God has planned for your life, that might be a bit overwhelming. But think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think it was overwhelming for him? You know, you need to realize that Jesus came in his humanity. I'm sure if you read certain scriptures, you'll find it was overwhelming for him. But he chose to submit himself to God. The feelings he had are the feelings that we can all experience as well. Everything that he went through, we can go through. So make sure you compare yourself to Christ. This is an important statement if you want to make a note. If you're submitting to God, let him do the work in your life through conviction. I'll say that again. Let him do the work in your life through conviction. The church today has rejected that system of learning. And if, as a result, they've rejected what Christ paid the price for. He paid the price for your sins to be removed instantly by confessing them to God. So anytime you mess up, you cross the line, it's not the end of the game. You can have another go. This is what we have in the new covenant. And we use the fact that we've crossed the line to examine ourselves and see where we leak. So make sure that you make him Lord. Everything that we have in the new covenant, all the promises, are based on him being Lord. That he decides. The most wicked sin in the Bible, I believe, or sins, I should say, in the Bible are committed by those trying to do it another way. Usually they're trying to come to truth using their natural carnal mind because they want to skip conviction and correction. I'm just telling you now, you're wasting your time if you do it that way. And you're always going to be behind spiritually. You need to love conviction and realize it is a blessing. Hallelujah. In the Living Bible, 1 Peter 2, 1 to 6 says this. This is the Living Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Says, so get rid of your feelings of hatred. Who's that towards? Could be anyone. Could be God. I'll say it again. So get rid of your feelings of hatred. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with dishonesty and jealousy and talking about others behind their backs. Now you realize how kind the Lord has been to you. Put away all evil, deception, envy, and fraud. Long to grow up into the fullness of your salvation. Cry for this as a baby cries for his milk. Okay? I don't hear any sounds at the moment, but there you go. Come to Christ, who is the living foundation of rock upon which God builds. Though men have spurned him, have you spurned him? Have you rejected the way he learned? Have you rejected what he did by submitting himself to the Father? He is very precious to God. Very precious to God. So if you're doing that too, and you are doing things submitted to God in your day-to-day life under pressure, what does that say about you? It tells me that you're precious. It says he's very precious to God, who has chosen him above all others. And now you have become living building stones for God, for God's use, building his house. You know, a stone carries some pressure. Do you understand that? Stop deceiving yourself that you don't need pressure. If I put a brick somewhere, it's supposed to hold some pressure. So if I'm going to put you, or God's going to put you in his building house, warning, expect some pressure. What's more, you are his holy priests. How did you get that qualification? Did I miss something somewhere? Was there a PhD in there somewhere? Was there some credentials? It says, what's more, you are his holy priests. So come to him, you who are acceptable to him because of Jesus Christ, and offer to God those things that please him. Can I remind you what pleases him again? Doing something under pressure. As the scripture expresses it, see, I'm sending Christ to be the carefully chosen, precious cornerstone of my church. And I will never disappoint those who trust in him. And Jesus knows exactly what to do and when to do it. The Bible says there's a time and a place for everything. So you need to understand that Jesus knows that time and place. He knows what to do next. It's no good you saying, well, this is good, I did it last week. You've got to keep acknowledging God. If you look at your schedule every day, you should be in the timing of the Lord. If you are not in God's timing, you're not serving God. How can you be? If you are his servant, then you are ready to do whatever he says at the time he says to do it. You're not making excuses. You might on the first occasion. It is a privilege to serve and represent God. Hallelujah. Do you even realize what we are, how the Bible describes us? I mean, first of all, it tells us that we're like a breath here today, gone tomorrow. But it is a privilege to be a vessel in his house, to be used in any capacity and represent God. And you have an invitation to do that. Don't mess it up. If we look at this particular passage that we're reading here, Peter was writing to the Jews. They made a good start. They were scattered in the persecution. That couldn't have been very nice. But they saw the goodness of God. They saw God's provision in traveling, in going to another country. And God actually says, I have chosen you. You know, you don't get chosen just because you're born again. You're called, but you're not chosen. You know what makes the difference? Well, if you want to read in the book, Manifest the Sons of God, by Joseph, you'll find out the difference. But you haven't made Jesus Lord. And some of you maybe look at that in terms of the absolutes. But you can make Jesus Lord at any level of pressure. So why not start now? What's stopping you? You look at it in terms of you're trying to make him Lord at some high level of pressure that you don't have the grace to do. Start with the small things and be faithful. Yes, the Jews had to give the good confession. That got them in a lot of trouble. And that meant difficulties for them. It meant they weren't comfortable in other countries. I mean, but they did that because they had to. What are you going to do when somebody asks you about Jesus and you know he just died in Jerusalem? You're not going to keep your mouth shut if you know the truth. Unless you want to tell lies. It's what they did after that that mattered. You define yourself every day by your actions. So they had to start overcoming in just day-to-day issues. This is where we define ourselves. You're going to have to overcome not just in one area, but many areas. But the lessons you learn with God's grace are going to be ones you need for the next level. Here's the good news that Peter was talking about here. That if you keep learning from your mistakes, that's going to make you into a priest of God. Is that pretty good? I think most people would like that. There are others out there making the same mistake under pressure. And they need help too. They need to stop sinning. If you stop sinning, you are going to be a great asset in the body of Christ. If you're still sinning, you're not a priest of God. How could you be a priest of God if you're still sinning? Because what you're trying to do is you're saying, I'm trying to help you stop sinning, but you're still sinning in that area yourself. Joseph Hedgecott told me this a long time ago. And I'll say it again. So maybe you probably know it already. But you can't help somebody in an area where you are not doing it yourself. So if you're still making the mistake, you can't help somebody else. You have to repent yourself first. God is waiting on you to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do you have time for that today? In your busy life? Are you looking for challenges? Are you looking for difficulties? Or are you looking for the comfortable option? I mean, you don't have to wait very long before you're going to have a challenging situation today. If you have a high calling on your life, you need complicated situations. You do. So don't complain when they turn up. You're the one, I'm the one, who determines whether he can use me or not use me. I've got to be a holy vessel. We talk about holiness. Anyone can be holy when there's no pressure. But to be holy under pressure, that's another story. That requires that I trust him, that I don't take over the lordship. I have to trust him with all my life. I have to trust him with my whole life. Use the bad fruit that manifests in complicated situations to identify areas that urgently need, I was going to say medical assistance. No, they don't. They need repentance. Hallelujah. Jesus taught this in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Matthew chapter 6, 33 and 34. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The word morrow in Strong's is number 839. It comes from another word meaning a breeze. That is the morning air, something fresh. That is the eclipse of tomorrow or the next day. This is not a time to be lazy about your foundations. This one is already passing away. And you may be wondering why this is happening. I believe it's because of the bride. It's because his people, those who are want to be part of the bride, will deal with the things that they see appearing when this world is passing away. Somebody explained it like this one time. It's like having a sink full of dirty washing up bowls and plates in it. But you don't see it because the waters cover it. As this world passes away, the sink drains down. and the water goes out, and what is exposed is all the dirty dishes that you never dealt with before. They were covered by the water. This is the time we're in now. There's never a time, never a better time to be seeking the kingdom of God now. Never a better time. Be honest. Be honest about your attitude and motive to serving. If you find it difficult to serve, why? Are you serving? Or have you successfully removed all those people in your life that you need to serve? You need to make sure that you're under somebody, serving somebody. Otherwise, how can you be honest about your attitude and motive? To be righteous, you have to not sin. And God, remember, is in control. So he makes sure you're not tried beyond what you're able to endure. So you can't talk in absolutes. But if you are sinning under any kind of pressure, you can't say, well, God is causing me to sin. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, which you can read if you need to. But God is not the one overloading you. If you are sinning, you had access to the grace, to everything you needed to not sin. That's what the book of James talks about. It was written for our benefit in these last days. So you need to pay close attention. Let me define for you what sin is. I know I say this again and again, probably in every conference, but I'm a preacher of righteousness, and therefore I have to talk about sin. Sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, in purpose, and action. I'll say that again. I haven't put it right in my script. Sin is anything that is contrary to God's perfect will for your life personally, in thought, in purpose, and action. I love the way that God deals with each one of us individually. You are not allowed to compare yourself with anyone else. You must only compare yourself with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you compare yourself with somebody else, you are disobeying God. You will either give up, or you may even become high-minded. Either one is wrong. The only one you should compare yourself with is Christ. And he didn't have it easy. Here we're told to seek first the kingdom of God. Some people get the idea that we've already got the kingdom of God. But you need to look at the fruit in your life. Fruit tells a story. I'm talking about good fruit, by the way, not bad fruit. The fruit that shows that the yoke is easy, the burden is light, for example. The fruit that you can rejoice. That's the kind of fruit we're looking for. If you find it difficult to obey, then there's some problem somewhere. In the scripture here warns us not to be thinking. I like that. You know how much time I spend telling you thinking is dangerous. But here the scripture says, take no thought about the morrow. The morrow includes being anxious about what is coming next, it's none of your business. The word morrow includes your own well-being. None of your business. That's God's department. Evil is not a problem. Why? Because if you are working on your relationship with God and your ability to communicate with Him, then He is going to give you upgrades about what the devil's doing. You should start your day. This might be frightening for some of you, but you've heard it from me quite a few times. You should start your day with His commands. That's how we start our day. Thy will be done. I want to find out what He wants me to do. That didn't look very smart to me when I started doing it, because I've got enough trouble as it is. I don't need any more pressure. I've got all the tasks that I've got to do today. Why would I seek Him for commands? Surely, I'm talking in the natural now, using my stupid brain, I would think, well, that, I don't need to do that. But if you start thinking like that, you're going to rob yourself of great spiritual things. You start the day with His commands and seek to do what He says first and foremost. And His grace will be sufficient. And that means you get to benefit from that grace throughout the whole day. But if you sit there and you don't get out of bed and you don't seek His commands, how's your day going to go? His grace is sufficient for the evil that you experience every day. It is. If you're finding it easy, it's because you have all sufficiency of grace, not because you're cool or intelligent or educated or intellectual. You better give the credit where the credit is due. He's the one who makes it easy. Make sure you tell people that. But you have to be seeking His commandments. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. We're talking about the kingdom of God still. Luke 13, starting in verse 18. Then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like? Verse 18. And whereunto shall I resemble it? Verse 19, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his own garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Verse 20, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Verse 21. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In the kingdom of God now, I could do with a copy of this book. Somebody passed the book to me. In the kingdom of God now, in chapter 2, on the kingdom of heaven, for those of you online, this is what this book looks like. On page 17, Joseph Hedgecott writes, God placed the seed of his spirit within you when you are born again. Sometimes you may feel like you don't have much. But if you yield to the gardener, the Father, and allow him to do what he wants you want to do in you, that little seed can grow to become greater than all the other herbs in the field. This is conditional now, based on you doing what Joseph just said. As you yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the spiritual seed, the kingdom of God, will grow in you until it overcomes everything else and provides life for others. He continues, a little bit of leaven can leaven a whole loaf. That's what God did in us. He put the seed of faith and his spirit in each of us. If you will yield to the Master, that little bit of leaven will change you completely. Your spirit, your soul and body will become holy and in right standing with God. There's a part God does, there's a part you do. God doesn't make mistakes. He's never the problem. We have to be willing to accept the kingdom of God fully into every area. It needs to fill up every area of our lives. Now is the chance to prepare the ground for the seed that God has given you. You should be working on that all the time. So hopefully you're hearing God in more and more areas. As I've said already, make every effort to establish Jesus as Lord in all areas. I hope you do this practically, especially in areas of thinking. You might be in a situation that you don't think, but there are areas where you do think. It is dangerous to think, so you need to ask permission to think. You need to know what to think about. And you can look at your thought life. The battle is in the mind. If you're not sure about that, read chapter 14 of the book Wake Up. Time is running out. Volume 2, chapter 14 of that book talks about the battle of the mind. Is in the mind. So thinking is dangerous. Your spiritual foundation is established through our Lordship, through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is the correct mediator between God and man. He knows when it's time to think. He knows when it's time not to think. He's been there. You haven't been there. He's gone ahead of you. He's first. He passed the test. He knows. There's a time to think, there's a time not to think. Jesus needs to be Lord of all. Have you established that in just basic areas first? If you haven't done that, then what's going to happen when you enter bigger things and greater things? You're going to come crashing down. So now is your chance to do it in day-to-day things. So I'll say it again, thinking is dangerous. Your spiritual foundation is only as strong as the weakest link. Okay? Your spiritual foundation is only as strong as the weakest link. As soon as you start functioning out of your lordship, your own lordship in any area, everything stops. at least God stops assisting you and he starts resisting you. That's going to happen a lot in these last days. I mean, you may have never seen God resist you as much as he's seen you resist you in these days. I hope you already have some experiences of that. It's kind of shocking when you see him resisting you. But those of you who make the effort to do it God's way, he assists. And that's a blessed thing when he is assisting us. And I've heard testimonies of many people around the world of God assisting them in a greater way than he's ever assisted them. This is the time we're living in now. So yes, he's assisting people more, but he's also resisting people more. And it's going to increase like that. So let's be careful to make sure that we establish his foundation in us. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 24, let's see, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Matthew, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I believe God can do his work through any of us in a greater way if our foundation is right. He can see the end from the beginning. He can tell whether we're building on the rock or building on the sand. Like I said, if you are thinking all the time, you're building on the sand. But if you're actually hearing and obeying, you're building on the rock. That's the difference. You can halt the foundation being built in your own life through unbelief. When God wants to go deeper and deeper and deeper, unbelief will manifest in your life because of something else you're serving, something else that you're listening to that cannot submit to God. Every error of unbelief, if you trace it back, is based on a lie that you believe to be the truth. It's not a lie you believe to be a lie, but a lie that you have convinced yourself there's no way that has to be the truth. But you were listening to the flesh at the time. You were listening to a wrong voice at the time. Satan had access. And he was only feeding a desire or fleshly carnal desire that you want to fulfill. And he was able to then get you to believe something you wanted to believe anyway. He just helped you in that. You were going to believe it if you kept working at it. And that's why your building comes crashing down. So Jesus here was talking about foundations in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And this is what we need to do. We need to identify those areas and remove anything that's not built on the rock. And if you have identified these areas and you've removed them so that God can continue to do everything he wants to do through you, I believe you have maybe already regretted, but resisting the construction process God's trying to do in your life. But those of you who are in a construction now, keep going. That's what I say. Keep going. because you have a great inheritance ahead of you. So learn to build on the rock. And if you build on the rock, then when some trial or difficulty comes along, nothing moves. It's never too late to establish a stronger foundation. Never too late. I believe God is the one who has been sending storms, small ones, not big ones, to wake us up, to make us realize that our foundation is shallow because we're not being honest, we're not examining ourselves. So a little bit of shaking goes on, something falls off the building or something else happens. And the purpose of that is so that we wake up to righteousness and learn to submit to God. And then you can go on and build that deeper foundation that you should have built at the beginning. Okay, another scripture here in Luke 14:27-30. This is Luke 14. How are we doing for time? Yeah, we're okay. Anybody know what time I finished this session? Luke 14:27 says, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Verse 28. "Which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient funds to finish it?" Verse 29. "Least happily, after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him." Verse 30. "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." Here Jesus started off talking about the cross. I hope the cross is before you, the world is behind you. I hope you're aiming at the cross, that you know that that is the cross that you have to bear, and then you're working on that so that when you're in that situation, you don't mess it up under pressure. That's what you're looking at. That's what's in front of you. And Jesus likened this to building a tower. How many people are building a tower? Most of you say, "Well, I'll just take a bungalow, thank you very much." It's cheaper. Who wants to build a tower? Most are looking for a comfortable life anyway, so why would they want to be building a tower that represents the cross? First of all, you've got to make a decision that you're going to build a tower, not some shallow bungalow on the beach somewhere. You've got to decide that you're going to go on, you're going to finish the work, not your work, but you're going to finish his work. And then you've got to count the cost. Most people haven't counted the cost for what they need to, what God wants to do in their lives. They count the cost for something else. But you're not thinking big enough. You're not thinking tall enough. You're not thinking strong enough. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord. And if I'm going around doing things in the name of the Lord, then I am also a strong tower. That means I can handle pressure. Proverbs 18:10. I can have fun when most people can't have fun. Joseph would always say that he could have more fun when everything was going wrong than most people could when it was going right. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10. Is that what you're trying to build? In some countries where space is limited, I've seen this myself in Kathmandu and a few other places. In some countries where space is limited, a much deeper foundation must be paid for first. It has to be laid at the beginning. It is more costly. Now, you're not thinking like this if you're carnal. But if you had money to spend, what would you spend it upon? That's my question I'm asking you today. Would you spend it on the outside, the outward things, or the inward things? Most people have 50-50, or they've spent more on the outward things. They want a quick building, a quick fix. It's more costly at the beginning if you build like this. When that foundation is laid, then it's not shallow, it's deep, and it's almost like somebody might start laughing at you already. Because you spent your fortune on having a strong or deep foundation. Some people actually believe that deep repentance is not required. They say, are you repenting again? Why are you doing that? You don't need to do that. You just need to do it once. That's what some people might tell you. Are you going to listen to those people? Or are you going to keep a notebook? Yes, you. Some of you haven't repented because you're not keeping a notebook. You need to record the fact that all things have passed away. You need to record the fact that you have the fruit of repentance. This is what makes a good building at the end of the day. And if you do that, and your foundation is strong, and you spend time on that, then later you're going to have some fun. Because if you go to some of the countries I've visited, once that foundation, that more expensive foundation, is laid at the beginning, then when you add another story, you can keep adding another one and another one and another one. And you don't have to adjust the foundation very much. Because the depth of the foundation is already there. So you can enjoy one floor costing you very little, just materials. Second floor, just materials. Maybe with some scaffolding, of course. So it gets a little bit expensive. But you see other people, they're having to go back to the beginning and relay the foundation at great cost. So which way have you done it? You know, if you can't finish it, yes, people will laugh at you. But don't finish it without getting God's specifications. Because what you build with your little brain and what you decide is what you need to be doing, if you complete that work, you are completing the work of the devil in your life. And no one's going to, well, some people might laugh at you, but most people probably applaud you. So make sure you get God's specifications, not your own specifications. Are you bearing that cross? Do you want to know and hear God in complicated situations? Or are you avoiding pressure? This is my question to you. Your spiritual life, my spiritual building, and it still looks like this, and your spiritual building should look the same. It should look like a construction zone. It's not complete. Mine isn't. There's always a few additions being added on the side. I'm not at the top. I haven't reached the fullness and the measure and the stature of Christ. But another level goes on. Another level goes on. And I have more responsibility. And the yoke is easy and the burden is light. But all the work for that was done years ago. You can do the same. So, yes, you might laugh at my building on the odd occasion because it looks pretty messy. But a floor is being added next week and the week after. So it just keeps going like that. Okay, count the cost. Hallelujah. Let's look at Matthew 7, 13 to 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Talk amongst yourselves while I make a big noise in the microphone. That didn't destroy the microphone. Okay, Matthew 7, 13 to 16. Here we're told, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Today, most are striving to stay on the broad way. That's what they're striving to do for the sake of their flesh. They're fighting conviction when bad fruit appears. It should be the opposite with you. You've been told to get on the narrow way. You've got to find it. And you've got to strive to enter the narrow way. I believe that every child of God should have got on the narrow way immediately after salvation. Why? Because the devil uses ways that seem right. And he can make you into a hypocrite. On the narrow way, like I've said, you will have the minimum amount of pressure. And he and God will give you the maximum, you'll experience the maximum amount of growth spiritually on the narrow way. And God is in charge of that. I don't believe you will grow up spiritually without getting on the narrow way. I don't believe that you, without getting on the narrow way, you can become a fool trying to make your life more comfortable just by doing what you want when you want. Those who reverently fear God are on the narrow way. They know pressure is good for them. The sin that manifests under that pressure is what they're looking for. They know the grace of God. They know God's goodness, His kindness. And you are supposed to continue in that goodness. Hallelujah. So I hope you're doing that. So make sure that you are enjoying the grace on the narrow way. Okay? The grace is there on the narrow way to learn what went wrong under pressure. That's where you experience the grace. I believe that the narrow way provides the exact exactly the right amount of pressure for every single person. That's pretty amazing when you consider all of us, but that's God. It's God's design. It also helps us to develop the faith in God and produce the genuine fruits of the Spirit. Those of you who are on the narrow way, you know that the pressure can also increase. If you're wondering why, it is because you're not denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily. That's why. If you want to diffuse the pressure, then repent of that. Ask the Lord why. And again, the pressure should stay at a low level all the time. In fact, the pressure, you don't even notice it if you're really following Christ with your whole heart. You don't notice it. I don't notice it. To me, it's fun. And I'm not bothered about it. The only time I notice it is when it gets to high level and I'm not doing my basics, which is rare. So the way my system works is I'm looking for more pressure because I know there's situations out there that I need to go through. So I'm constantly working on my foundation. You can't do that if you're not getting on the narrow way. So I ask you again, make sure you're on the narrow way. Okay? Those who are foolish, listen to those inwardly who are like ravening wolves. Remember, which is the most important thing to build on? Is it 50-50? If you got a chance to work on things that are inwardly or outwardly, which one's more important? I'll take a vote on that. I think it's inwardly. If you're working on those things that are inwardly, then when you're not going to listen to those who are like ravening wolves inwardly and just consuming everything that comes their way. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3. I've got a little bit more time. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Verse 2, "Beware of dogs, beware of evildoers, beware of the concision." Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." If you want to get an idea what your spiritual building looks like, one of them is that you are able to rejoice consistently in humble circumstances. If you can't do that, your faith is still weak or immature. Tests and challenges exposing immaturity are a blessing, so you can save yourself. Again, if you read this carefully, you see there's a lot in it. But Paul here was concerned about reminding them that rejoicing in the Lord is important. I mean, if you had something final to say, what would be your final words? "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord," is what he says. Rejoicing in the Lord is rejoicing in the fact that he is Lord and he is making the decisions in your life, and you are not making the decisions in your life. So it wasn't a problem for him to repeat that. He said, for you, it is safe. The Bible says that there is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. What is your safety? What's my safety? I'll tell you what my safety is. My safety is to make sure I am doing what God wants me to do now. That's my safety. And as long as I'm doing what He's telling me to do now, I'm faithful in what He has told me to do. And being faithful in that will enable me to do the next thing that He has also told me to do. So make sure that's the way you're living. Here he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Now, here we're talking about evil worker is somebody who wants to do evil. Somebody who doesn't want to repent, who's resisting conviction. They would say typically it is enough just to be born again. They spend the minimum on their foundation. And they do what they want when they want. They have a shallow foundation, like a bungalow. Maybe it looks good to you because you want one. Dogs also bark, so beware of them. They bark when they're convicted. So don't let them disturb you. They might be loud, but you concentrate on walking and obeying the small things, being faithful in what God has given to you to do. It's not enough to call Jesus Lord. So the more pressure you can handle, the better. Okay? Do one more verse here. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You depart from me, you that work iniquity. It's amazing to me as I've traveled around the world, I've met many in the body of Christ. I was in my next trip, I'm going to Malaysia, and there's some churches there. They like my visit, but they also like other things that they hear of, that are being taught about hearing God. There are many courses today on hearing God's voice. The popular ones are actually not teaching you how to hear God. The ones that are most and the most interest to the body of Christ is how to hear God in ministry. So beware. So look at the content when you hear about a course on hearing God. It's not a course on hearing God. It's a course on how to hear God in ministry. So beware. You'll see this all the time. Very shallow courses. And the trouble with that is that you will learn how to become a hypocrite if you get on that course. Because all you're doing is learning to hear God in one or two areas. You're not hearing God in all areas. You're just learning to hear God in ministry, which is an easy area to learn in terms of results. Because God can speak through a donkey. So the danger is this is a very shallow course. People don't want to hear about asking God about what socks to wear. That wouldn't be in a course today on hearing God, or very rarely. So be careful when you listen to these courses. Look at the content. The message you really need today is the message of deep repentance, of course. And those who are building large ministries and so on, not really interested in that. So they are on the most churches that we know that are quite large are probably on the broad road, unless there's evidence of repentance from dead works. Okay? So be careful when you look at these things. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of maturity, not the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of maturity, not the gifts of the Spirit. So make sure that you always learn to hear God in all areas, because the fruit depends on it. If you cannot maintain the communication system with God under pressure, the fruit won't be there. So now is the time to work on these things. So let's see. We're coming, you know, like I say, this is it. This particular scripture is talking about what's going to be happening in the last days. But let's learn from it. Either we are working on our communication system and being faithful in what God is saying, or we're workers of iniquity. With either working on the things that God is showing us, or we're resisting and working on iniquity. Iniquity, if you remember, is departing from the truth. So you're constantly looking for ways to get out of conviction and correction. So either one or the other. So if you're only hearing God in one or two areas, you're just becoming a hypocrite and lukewarm. Okay, so I think we'll stop there because of time. We've got something else to say in the next session. Please, we're going to take a short break here. I believe these are important sessions. I hope you made a note of the scriptures. We've got a number of books here that I'd like to mention. We'll probably just, beginning of the next session, we'll just recap on some of the books I've mentioned. You heard me mention a notebook, and I want to reemphasize this, particularly those who are interested in deep repentance. We recommend that you set up a notebook, and you're not going to repent of something if you don't keep revisiting that error until you get to the root. So please make sure that you have established the kind of notebook that Joseph described in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. We'll be showing you the book at the beginning of the next session. So thank you very much. The subject is Stronger Foundations. Keep listening. Next session coming soon.